this ice rink is sort of a catalyst for all these other things. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what's happening in the story, what it was like to write it, and then how it became part of Ecotone.
The reason, I mean, this meant so much to me, this classmate of mine and his father, who was sort of a hapless inventor who had invented this mail order ice rink that he wanted to sell to America. I was at 9 years old. I was really going downhill fast. Instead of going out and playing with the other kids, I would lean over my desk and just draw flames and stick figures burning and gorges of, you know, devoured figures. And it was sort of a response to the chaos at home. And Brad sat next to me. You know, he was the one who was willing to sit next to me. And one day he brought an issue of, it was like Sports Afield or Outdoor Life, a magazine like that. And his father had placed a little classified ad in the back of this journal saying, you know, for a mail order ice rink. And I was just so impressed. I mean, just the idea of, you know, an ice rink could go through the U.S. mail, it lit my imagination up in such a beautiful way. And it seemed like sort of a way out, I mean, at least a way for my spirit. And I just thought it was the coolest thing, someone who had a funny dream like that and actually made it happen or made it come true. So finally when I got this story hammered down after, no lie, about 8 years and so many drafts, I sent it to Ecotone, and it was accepted. And the way Lookout Books works, the imprint of UNCW, is that they draw their authors from Ecotone authors. So if they have a good experience working with someone, or they see promise in one or two of their pieces that have appeared in there, they will sometimes ask them to send a manuscript. So that's what I did.
So you've published several essays and pieces of prose in several literary journals. And this is your debut memoir, right? So this is the first book-length project.
And while the pieces were getting published in great journals, no one was really brave enough to take on anything that was just different and unusual. But Lookout did.
What was the hardest part of writing this book or putting this book together for you?
The last layers were obviously the layers that were the hardest to do, and I think there was darkness in our family, and I think that having the support of the publisher and the editors at Lookout allowed me to sort of get right down with some of the most difficult elements of the book. And I don't want to get in the way of the book here, but basically, you know, the most personal elements of the story of feeling so alone when you're a child and feeling that your parents just aren't there or they're not who they should be. You know, no child, even people who've been through experiences like that, they just don't want to, even when you're an adult and have gotten hold of it, you still, part of you doesn't want to think that or believe that. But it's a necessary element to understand the chaos of the family and how I attached to neighbors and how I attached to people who were sort of paragons of order. You know, the book really represents only 25% of the writing that I did about Davenport over 10 years. So wrestling it down, finding that right mixtape of everything took a really prolonged and marathon effort, you know, over the last year and a half. But we did it. We were able to get this first cut of all this stuff, the right balance of family and social material, and about the way that art can enter a life and make it something that otherwise it couldn't be.
Well, Ben, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this. It's been so nice to talk to you about this book.
Oh, it's been wonderful, Sarah. I'm so glad when anyone pays attention to something that I work so hard on and put so much into.